As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What do you like in the Super Bowl?
I like the Chiefs.
Kansas City!
You're really going out on a limb, aren't you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, listen, the Eagles are really good, but I also
Boy, are they?
But I chose the Chiefs.
The Eagles are going to have to be up by at least 30 points.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Fox Sports NFL analyst Julian Edelman. Coming up, University of Washington head coach Jed Fish. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Jed Fish of the University of Washington is going to be strolling in here. He's worked for Jim Harbaugh, Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, who, by the way, just got a text from Suze as she's coming in to do What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Pete Carroll slated to be on today's What the Football. Susan
Susan
Pete go way back to when she covered his USC Trojans. So Pete is going to pop on the new head coach of the Raiders with the Princess of Darkness. And that's not how I'm referring to my wife. Susie and Amy Trask, What the Football, as soon as we're done here. Marshall Faulk also slated to appear in a monster post-championship Sunday, getting you ready for Super Bowl edition. Overreaction Monday is out. Where anybody gets their podcasts or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We just completed Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, as well as talk with Julian Edelman and also with Mike Florio. And if you missed any of that, we re-air on the Roku Sports channel, as well as there's our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And all 3 hours are available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. There is a head coach who got introduced that we have yet to discuss in earnest, and it is the head coach of the New York Jets. They went back to the future. Back in the day, speaking of Pete Carroll, the first ever first-round draft choice for Pete Carroll as a head coach in the NFL. Yeah. Yes, the oldest ever head coach in the NFL. It used to be the youngest when the Jets selected him as being the HC of the NYJ, and a lot of people are like, "Who's this young guy?" And and his first draft choice was Aaron Glenn, 1994. And then he played for Parcells, and he was around. He was around when the Jets came awful close to getting back to the Super Bowl before Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez got them close. And Aaron Glenn was introduced yesterday. Former defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And this is a soundbite that's gone a lot of places in his introductory press conference.
To any players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this. Listen, I want this job. I interviewed for a number of them, but I wanted this job. When I was going to my second interview, I wanted to make sure this is going to be the second interview. It's going to be the first of the second interviews, because I didn't want to leave the building without shaking Woody's hand and make sure we had a contract. So I'm just telling you now, everything else was really out of it. It was all about the Jets, and it's been that way from the beginning. I look forward to this. I look forward to it. It's going to be a great ride. It really is. There's nothing better than having your start here as a player, here as a scout, and now here as a head coach. And I'm ready for it. I appreciate it.
So two things upon hearing that. The first part of it. When I heard it, I thought, oh, God. It sounded very Rex Ryan-ish to me. The only thing that was missing is he wasn't going to kiss Andy Reid's rings or whatever, you know. That we're the frigging New York Jets. And then a very Jeb Bush-like clap, I think, in the audience. You know, I mean, it was...
Just like one...
Yeah,
like,
please clap. You know, not great. Not great. But then, you know, then I heard what you need to hear is that he wanted the job. And that was my concern throughout this entire process. Entire process is that people around this league would hear the stories emanating from the Jets ownership suite and front office and say no thanks. And the candidates wouldn't be top notch because of it. Or they would read the stories. And as a matter of fact, Woody Johnson spoke at this press conference announcing Aaron Glenn coming home and untouched upon, we was asked about the dysfunction in all these stories, you know, like the Madden rating and let's not trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating isn't any good. And this is what he had to say about that.
You don't believe those reports, do you? There was a lot of exaggeration, hyperbole. You know, there really was. Yeah, yeah. And you really have to take all that stuff with a grain of salt, because you don't know how much. Nobody knows how involved it was. Yes, I want Aaron Glenn to coach the team. I want the general manager to manage the assets and the players, and I'll take the owner's position. You know, and that's what I'd like to do.
Which is great to hear. He also, I believe, in his press conference, talked about being better at the job of owning a team.
I have to look in the mirror and I have to be a better owner. And I'm trying to be better. And I do self-scout. And a lot of people scout for me, you know. Right?
On Twitter.
How can you be a better owner, in your view?
I think I did it today by introducing you to the two leaders of this team. That's part of it. The second is I've got to have patience or whatever. I've got to let them evolve as in these positions, which I think they will. I think it'll be quick, but I think they'll evolve.
Hey, it's great to hear, and I'm sorry to do this, but you always accuse me of roping you in when I shouldn't, TJ.
Well, I mean...
That's exactly the sort of stuff I'd imagine you as a Dallas Cowboy fan would love to hear from the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I'm going to step back. I'm going to let the people that I have hired, because he introduced a new general manager, which back in the day used to be the most important thing for the Jets. Who's going to be actually shopping for the groceries? Oh, God. You still have the John Isaac drops around here, Mike. Please don't.
Please.
I'm the
come
general
on.
Manager yes. of the New York Jets. Ultimately, I'm responsible for the performance
All right,
of our
enough.
Team.
Enough. Stop, John. Isaac.
That was like 8 GMs ago.
Oh, God. And that used to be the most important. Like, who is going to be shopping for the grocery? Who is going to be the one who actually putting together? It's a very talented team that Aaron Glenn has in front of him, and so it's great to hear that from Woody Johnson. Like, I need to be more patient. I mean, he just fired his previous head coach 5 games into a season, My word. And we saw how poorly that went. So a self-scout, terrific. Glad to hear it. And Aaron Glenn, again, I know he was, I think he probably had that line in the shoot where the frigging New York Jets or whatever, and he threw that out there. And like I said with Liam Cohen before and what we said about other coaches, you win, no one will remember. No one. And as a matter of fact, who even brings up? I mean, we still bring up the kneecap stuff with Dan Campbell, but we're so past it now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
As in, like he knows what he's doing, and that Hannibal Lecter stuff that he started, it was weird and wild. But guess what? We turn the page on wondering if he's the right fit or he can do the job.
We're gonna have a great day today.
Thank you. And as a matter of fact, Aaron Glenn was on his staff. And if he brings a little bit of the Dan Campbell to the equation, then great. But the way that he handled this part of the media availability session when asked about Aaron Rodgers and his future there, I kind of dig hearing this. This is what Aaron Glenn had to say in response to the New York media now in a scrum around him, asking him about who's playing quarterback and Aaron Rodgers.
Will Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback?
You're going to continue to ask me the same question and get the same answer. We're still in evaluation mode. So for anybody else going to ask that, I'm going to give you the same answer. So don't waste your time. Be clear.
Well, let's answer that. What do you look for in a quarterback? Like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback?
A winner. A winner. Mental and physical toughness. When you talk about that process, you're not going to get me.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, Parcells, I know you guys are close. He always
that's
said,
"That's Parcells. Okay. I'm Aaron Glenn."
Okay, so you don't.
That's Parcells. I'm Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
Okay. He's already got the hackles up, and he's got the jousting ability, and he's got the
New York.
We're going to prove it. And by the way, you know, what's this guy supposed to say when Aaron Rodgers is brought up? First of all, Aaron Rodgers has apparently not said a word yet as to whether he wants to keep playing.
Right.
And this guy, of course he's not going to shut the door on Aaron Rodgers. Why would he do that? Why would he do that in his opening press conference? Why would...
That'd be weird.
And if it comes out where he's like, absolutely, I would take Aaron Rodgers on. Guess what? If Aaron Rodgers says, I want to come back and play, there's some contractual stuff that needs to be worked out here. And if Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm the guy, then Aaron Glenn will have to show who Aaron Glenn is all about and explain to him that he's a bridge quarterback. And we're going to get to the next one. And it's not going to be like another Jordan Love moment here. We might go to him right away. Are you fine with that? Davante Adams, are you fine with that? If we draft a kid? What if Shedeur Sanders drops to the Jets?
Ooh.
I'm serious.
I'd be shocked for one, but...
Who knows? What if the Jets love him so much they trade him to go get him?
That'd be fun. I think Aaron Rodgers is starting week one for the Jets.
You know what? But why would he close the door on it? He wouldn't.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
Because Rodgers has got to make a stand first. He's got to make his stance known first. And then the new general manager is going to have to say, and guess what? The owner will chime in on this subject matter. I wouldn't blame Woody for wanting to get in on this chat. Enter that chat.
Or, Rich, what if Aaron Glenn has watched from afar what's going on the last two seasons?
And has no
just
desire.
Like, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy.
That's correct.
I'm not.
Possible, but it's a $49 million dead cap hit.
Well, yeah, it worked out for the Broncos, though.
That's true.
You know.
And you're right. He could be from afar saying, I want none of this. I'm coming in. We're going to start our new program. This is the frigging New York Jets.
But who are you going to get in free agency?
I have no idea.
Because you're not going to start a rookie week one unless you move up to take
one of
these
two
guys.
Idea. I have no earthly idea, which is why Rodgers makes sense.
Right.
Certainly if Davante Adams is sticking around.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know.
It just seems to me, based off the little I know about Aaron Glenn in that meeting, that it's like him and Rodgers might. There could be a little butting of heads if Rodgers starts trying to act like he's the smartest guy in the room.
But guess what? Guess what? This is Aaron. Last 2 years is about Aaron Rodgers. Now it's about Aaron Glenn. And I do hope Woody Johnson is 100% following his own advice or whatever epiphany might have happened. That might be too strong a word for him, but this is Aaron Glenn. This is all about letting him do his thing with the general manager that they have probably all picked together. And they have a really talented roster. As I've told you, the first order of business is to go to Sauce Gardner. That's the first guy I want Aaron Glenn talking to. Because that kid going out and saying, I'm not telling T. Higgins to come here. We need to get him back on the program. And the new general manager needs to be told, Woody can keep the white hat on this one and basically say, Garrett Wilson's staying. So let's figure out what we're doing there. And Devontae Adams can coach him up if that's what we need to do. And if Aaron Rodgers stays, then those two guys, if there is some problem that's between the two of them, let's bury that thing. And then we tell Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron here now is Glenn. If that needs to be expressed to him, perhaps it does not. I don't know. But the dysfunction does need to go. Starting now. Let's take a break. Jed Fish of the University of Washington football program. This is going to be a lot of fun. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Let's talk Live Good, people. We all take supplements, or at least we know we should. But why are so many supplement companies charging ridiculous prices for products that really aren't that special? It's frustrating. That's why I want to introduce you to Live Good, a brand that's turning the supplement industry on its head. LiveGood believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by their industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. You're going to love it. Collagen peptides, energy endurance electrolytes, organic coffee. Yeah, coffee, organic super greens, protein powder, weight loss products, hormone products, skincare products, all highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Well, we'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and you can save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Who was your coach, Joel McHale, when you were at Washington? Who was your coach?
Coach Don James.
So the legendary,
yes,
Don James. How would he have handled
Well, he
that?
Wouldn't really make eye contact with me because I was a walk-on, and we were cattle, and we were the chaff. We were cannon fodder.
Right.
And, but when if you did something good, yes, then he'd be like, hey, that was good. He stood up in a booth because he tried to watch the whole practice. So as everyone knows, I was the worst player in Washington history.
We're looking at a shot of you standing in front of the Rose Bowl now.
See, that's the problem is that I forgot my pads. And so they were like, go back out to the bus and get them. And then they got that photo of me.
Yeah, you're in your uniform minus pads and what looks like practice shorts.
That was
not game day itself then, right?
No, there would have been a lot more people around. And so, yeah, that's as close as I got to playing.
Damn.
I was in the stadium, but no, I wasn't.
You never even got in the game? Not even like
no, no,
Rudy?
I was
like,
I,
not
I,
even like a Rudy moment for you at any point?
No, Rudy hadn't come out yet, so they didn't know about that moment. And as soon as that movie came out, I was like, oh, missed my shot.
Yeah.
I walked on and I was awful, and then they redshirted me my second year, and then I quit. Because that's what you do to make it in Hollywood.
You
quit jobs.
Quit your red shirt.
I knew that I needed. I was no. I it was no.
Now you were a tight end, right? Were you
yes.
tight end?
The two tight ends in front of me and the other eight in front of me. But yes. The two were. It was Mark Bruner and Ernie Conwell, who are. They look like Greek gods. And Ernie was cleaning and jerking 365 when he was a 19-year-old. So he could bench 450 as a freshman. And I ran screaming and crying a lot on the field, and that's why no one could tackle me, because I felt bad. I was like, don't hurt me! Don't hurt me!
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. One big happy family with the Roku Channel Sports Channel stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by. The head coach of the University of Washington football program, Mr. Husky himself, if you will. Jed Fish, good to see you, Jed. How are you?
All right. I'm doing great.
Good to see you.
It's great to see you. Good to take a little break from the recruiting trail and say hello.
Yeah, down here in Southern California. Man, there's so many ways to go with you to start this conversation. We'll get to, you know, your program in a second. But before you're coming out here, I had no idea your college roommate at the University of Florida was?
Howie Roseman.
Whoa.
Super Bowl contender again. So I'm so excited for Howie. And we lived together in college, and we lived in apartments together. And one of my closest friends.
What were you talking about like back in the day? Were you talking about coaching football and he was talking about, you know, putting together football teams or not really?
Yeah, no, my favorite story is it's the day of the NFL draft in 1996 or seven, I think it was. And we're living in an apartment together. We're fraternity brothers also.
In Gainesville?
In Gainesville, Florida, yeah. And he comes down with a briefcase full of items for the draft. And he is ready to be the Jets general manager. And he was locked into that NFL draft weekend.
Why the Jets?
That was his team growing up. And
What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he went to law school and ended up at the Eagles and has been there ever since.
What was in the case?
The case was all of his information, his draft reports. They ended up taking Kyle Brady. So whatever draft that was.
I think, was that the one where they could have had Sapp?
Yes.
And they took Kyle Brady instead.
My TV took it on the chin for that one. He was not very happy with that draft pick.
Because Howie wanted, he probably wanted Sapp, I
yeah,
imagine.
I think it was Sapp. Whoever they wanted, there were some guys that everyone thought they should have taken. And Howie was one of those people and had a quite a moment in our living room at that moment.
So that's the 95 draft.
There it is, yes.
Kyle Brady goes ninth overall to the Jets. Sapp goes 12th.
To the Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because Sapp had a red flag or two.
I mean, yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Howie was running the Jets draft better than the Jets back in the college is what you're saying.
Yeah, Howie's running the Jets draft. I don't know, whatever it was at that moment in time. And then, you know, I remember saying, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to be a general manager one day. And I said, oh, okay, we'll see how that works. And he said, well, what are you doing? I go, well, I'm going to go work for Coach Berg. I'm going to be a college head football coach and hopefully a pro head football coach one day. And he said, yeah, we'll see how that works. And luckily every summer we get to celebrate that same story.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So Spurrier was the one who got you involved?
Yeah. I was a student assistant with, I think I was like the first or second ever student assistant. And then I became a GA there in 99 and 2000 with Coach Spurrier, and then had a chance to go work for Vic Fangio and Dom Capers at the Houston Texans.
And look who hired Vic Fangio to coordinate the defense.
It's amazing how that all happens.
In Philadelphia. That is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask this question multiple times. Just fill in the blank. Your favorite Spurrier story. Give me a good Steve Spurrier story.
Oh, man. There's so many good ones, right? But I think really my favorite one was just he was coming to my wedding. And he was driving up, and he was driving from Washington at the time. I was coaching for the Ravens, and he was driving up to New Jersey to my wedding, and he gets lost, okay? And he calls, he kind of doesn't get off the Delaware Memorial Bridge the right way. And he calls me, and I don't know where he is. He's driving around Philly. He said, "I've circled Donovan McNabb's house twice at this point," was his line to me. I said, "Oh,
this is on your wedding day?"
On my wedding day. Yeah, I was on the golf course on my wedding day. I said, "Well, let me give you the phone to my dad. My dad can help you. He went to Penn. He knows Philly."
Nice.
My dad picks up the phone. He goes, "Where are you at?" And he goes, "I think you should probably pull over to a gas station and get a map." So he goes, he gets a map. He shows up at the wedding. He goes, "The only smart person in your whole family is your dad. He told me to get a map." I said, "That's the smartest piece of advice you got, was get a map." And but he was amazing. And there were so many great stories. But the fact that he made the trip up to our wedding and, you know, just to give me a chance to be a part of his staff, I'm forever grateful.
And then who was the guy who hired? Was Billick the one who hired you in Baltimore? Or was
Yeah, Billick hired me in Baltimore. No, Brian. Sure. I worked for Brian for 4 years. That was he really was like a dad to me. And my dad passed away when I was coaching for Brian. And Brian was always, he had two daughters, and he always kind of took me under his wing and was just an amazing mentor and gave me so many opportunities to grow in this profession. And we stay super close to this day. But he and his family have just been amazing, and what an amazing mentor. And you know, he's an offensive guy, and
yeah,
you know. My favorite story, you know, with him is I said to him one time, I said, "Why aren't you calling it? Why, you know, why have you never been the play caller until later on in the career?" He said, "Well, if it took me 16 hours to be a good offensive coordinator, it takes me 10 hours to be a good head coach. That's about 26 hours in a day. We don't have that."
Right.
So we got to figure out what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And then, of course, he took over the play calling. We went 13-3. So I said, "Well, how'd that go for us, Brian?"
No
Maybe
doubt.
You could have done that a few years earlier.
Nice. Well, one of my favorite Billick stories that I have, having worked with him and interviewed him a couple times, is he just bristled whenever he would hear people break down Belichick by saying, "Well, Belichick is going to take away what you do best." We know that going into a Bill Belichick game, he's going to take away the one thing you do best. And Billick would sit there and go, like, the rest of us coaches don't have the same idea. Like, what the hell gives with that, you know? So he always had that bristling aspect about him, that we were ascribing things in a way to Belichick. But he was also coaching when Belichick and Brady were doing their things too, right? And
oh, yeah. You know, he was always that way. Brian was always that way. There was this Sports Illustrated article written one time, and they were talking about Gruden and how early he wakes up in the morning. And they asked Coach Billick, "Well, what time do you wake up?" He goes, 5 minutes before Coach Gruden says he does. I mean, it was always something. It was always something with him. And he was just – I loved it because, you know, he had that – he had – what he was is what he is. You know, he was that tough, hard-nosed, you know, guy that just didn't really back down to anybody.
Jed Fish, head coach of Washington Huskies football here on the Rich Eisen Show. When did you wind up with Bill? When did that one come?
That was at the that was in 2020.
So we're jumping way ahead.
Way then. Ahead, yeah. I was at the Rams. I was with Sean in 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. And then Coach Belichick called, and you know, in 18 we lost the Super Bowl to New England.
Right.
And so I had to have a big, you know, whatever I say, we're having a family meeting at the house, they know we're moving.
Yeah.
So it was 2020, and I said, "Girls, we're gonna have a family meeting here." And I brought out like the Patriots cookies. I'm like, you know, we're going to go to New England. And my youngest daughter goes, "Finally, we're going to win a Super Bowl." You know, and then what happens? The Rams win the Super Bowl the next year. So, but we had a great run. I actually had the Cam Newton time.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Belichick and I have been very close for a lot of years.
When did you first meet him?
2011, when I was coaching for University of Miami. You know, one thing that Bill did, I think, better than anybody is his ties to college football are so great. that he was always communicating and always trying to find out, you know, where do you see this guy versus this guy? And we had a lot of good players on that team, from Lamar Miller to Philip Dorsett to, you know, a bunch of Sean Spence. And he would talk about it, and he would ask you, like, compare this guy to this guy. And then as you build that relationship and trust, it just continued to get stronger and stronger. And then when I had an opportunity to go be his quarterback coach, I ran at it, and it was so awesome to be with him. And then Arizona called to be their head coach, so I wound up only being there 1 year, but we've stayed obviously extremely close. I hired his son to be our defensive coordinator last year. Bill was at our program a bunch, and I mean, he's my number one resource.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, we kept showing a photograph of Bill wearing Washington gear.
I know.
I think we probably still have it to pop it up there. So he was around, you know, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you feel he's equipped for this 21st century NIL world in North Carolina, if you don't mind me prying on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the best. He's phenomenal, and I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he is going to have an unbelievable plan, an unbelievable idea of how he's going to do things. He's going to know exactly what it's going to take. He's going to have great conversations, you know, with what is it going to take to get to the next level, and also be able to handle the finances. Because what Bill did so well over 19 or 20 years, whatever it was exactly, was build a team. And he was able to have those conversations with players and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to pay you the maximum number that maybe another player would be getting in that position, because we're also needing to sign this guard and this three technique and this nickel. And he was able to build it. So I think he's going to have an unbelievable run there for as long as he's going to want to do it. And Chapel Hill is certainly very lucky.
Is that the way it is now in college? Where you're basically, it is like building, because clearly we've established, we didn't even get into, and I'd love to before this interview ends, you know, the year you spent with Pete Carroll, who's now in Vegas, and the time you spent with Jim at Michigan, who's now across the street with the Chargers. I mean, you've straddled the line of pro and college for quite some time. Is it one and the same right now, Jed?
You know, there's some differences that, the contracts are different, right? So not everyone's a free agent every 6 months. In the NFL, that doesn't happen.
That's
right?
That's true, right?
So you have to be able to find that balance of relationship and finances versus, you know, once you tie an NFL player down to a contract, they have a contract. I still think recruiting matters. I think that building a culture matters. We still are very much in a player-centric program, that what we do at University of Washington, what we did at Arizona. I learned so much from being with Coach Harbaugh year one and year two at Michigan, and being with Coach Carroll year one at Seattle. And I think when you're with these guys in their first year, as they're putting their culture in, that never goes away.
How do you install a culture? I just wonder, because that's all we're hearing. Pete's going to install his culture. I've mentioned it. I have a general sense of, you know, what it is. He's always compete. He puts the signs everywhere. He really means it. Russell Wilson's the personification of it. So you can actually point to somebody, say, see, doesn't matter where you are on the depth chart. Doesn't matter who we just signed as a free agent. If you work hard, you compete, you can win here. Obviously, Harbaugh, what he was able to do. He pluses a team up every single time he goes somewhere. You saw it firsthand at Michigan. He just plussed up the Chargers 6. He plussed up the Chargers 7 the Niners when he first went there. How does one install a culture? Jed,
I think it's environmental. I think you have to have your culture everywhere. I don't think you can only touch a culture with a sign. I don't think you can only touch a culture with a team meeting. I think your culture has to be throughout your building. I think it has to be talked about daily. Our you know, to me, if you ask me what our program is about, it's about becoming a pro. Everywhere in our building, it says be a pro. And we talk about being professional, resilient, and original. But when we talk about it, it has to be every day of a pro makes sure that he never misses class. A pro makes sure that he takes care of his body in the training room. A pro understands that they have a short timeline to be as successful as they want to be. And to have that type of mentality, we're going to help you get there. But in our building, that's going to be plastered all over the place, and we're going to continue to strive to help these guys be the best they can possibly be. But being a professional in anything, to me, is being elite in what you're trying to get done. And you just have to talk that culture. And Coach Carroll's phenomenal at it. I mean, I think if you were to ask me what's Jim Harbaugh's culture, I'd say football is everything. I mean, football is everything. Like, he is just such a great, my favorite Harbaugh conversation.
Please.
Coach Harbaugh, you would love this, as obviously we're at Michigan and we're talking and we have all these different things. We're going satellite camps and then we're trying to, you know, figure out what we're going to do on offense and figure out how many plays we're going to put in. I said, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, less is more. And he looks at me with his face. He goes, how could less be more? More is more. Less is less. And I look back at him and go, I mean, I guess I can't argue that. And he said, Jed, more is more. I said, there it is. More is more. I will never say less is more ever when talking to you.
But I understand that less can actually mean more. Is that
don't try to explain that to him.
Oh my God. Well, birds make you nervous. If you eat birds, they're nervous. Bird, they're nervous.
Chicken.
Don't eat chicken.
Nervous bird.
I know. I mean, I'm unbelievable. The satellite camps. I remember that Jim pissed some people off when he first showed up to Michigan and he starts holding Michigan satellite camps in SEC country.
Yeah, you know? We were there. We ran through, I think it was 72 camps in 28 days. We were doing three camps a day. We were getting on an air. We had Dale Earnhardt's plane. And we got on that plane and we flew. We could be in Georgia, then we could be in Florida, then we could be doing a camp in the middle of Tennessee. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it was so much fun looking back on it now because it's a story for life.
Yeah.
But during that 28-day span, his stamina, second to none.
Well, I mean, he would – so you're hopping on – you, Jim Harbaugh – are hanging on Dale Earnhardt's plane, flying around,
yeah,
retooling the Michigan program,
and about 30 other people. It was one of it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was this plane that we borrowed. I think it was this black plane. It was amazing, and we had it for like 4 weeks or 3 weeks, and we just tooled around and we just promoted the program, and we would drop everywhere. You know, you remember the shirtless gym picture when we were in Alabama. Yeah. Then a day later, we might have been in the middle of Kansas City. I mean, we were everywhere, and
were you there with him when he stayed over in the treehouse?
Yeah, that was the kicker,
Quinn Nordin. You were there.
I was there.
You were staying. Were you sleeping in the treehouse?
No,
too?
I was sleeping in the Marriott courtyard. But you gotta love Jim. But he's the best. I mean, he's in that. I feel so blessed in my to have the coaches that I've worked for and learned from, because they're all different and unique, but they all win, and that's the best part about it.
Jed Fish here of the University of Washington football program. And it's amazing you're coaching in the Big Ten again. I still can't get over it. I still can't get over it, man. Everything is totally changed now. And, you know, Washington, Oregon, two schools down here in Southern California, all in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten winning back-to-back championships, too. It looks like we're living in the Big – I don't know how people in the Southeast are handling it.
But, so awesome.
You know?
I would just say this. It's a national conference. That's what's the separator about the Big Ten versus all these other conferences.
Right.
It's national. It's just like the NFL. Like, we're at Washington and we're flying across and playing Rutgers. You know, we're going and we're playing Indiana. We're playing Iowa. We're playing in every time zone.
Mm-hmm.
You have an opportunity. We're hosting Ohio State next year. We're going to the Big House next year. We're hosting Oregon. We're going to Madison, Wisconsin. It's just so exciting to be in this conference. The games are so awesome every week, and we got to make sure we got good enough players to compete every week.
Who am I seeing at the combine? Pound the table here for me, Jed. Who am I going to be seeing in Indianapolis talking about maybe in the draft for you, Jed?
You know, I really hope, well, there's two groups, right? There's that group at Arizona that we had.
Sure, yeah, please.
That I can't, you know, I can't wait to see Tetero McMillan, mm-hmm, right? Who we recruited, who came to us, and he'll be a top 10 pick. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best wide receiver in the country. Big Jonah Savannah, an offensive lineman that we had. I think he'll be a first round pick. He's phenomenal. I really am hoping to see guys like Carson Bruner, Mark Bruner's son, was our starting linebacker at Washington this past year. I'm really hoping that he has that opportunity to be at the combine. But, you know, I really feel like the way the team went, there were so many guys from Washington that were at the combine a year ago,
mm-hmm,
that we were in this rebuilding stage. I really hope to see Will Rogers, our quarterback from Mississippi State that transferred to us his final year, have an opportunity there. And, you know, it's just such a great – it's a great moment to watch him at the combine, to be a part of that. And I really am excited to see where T-Mac goes, knowing him since my wife's flying out to Honolulu for his draft day party. And we're just excited to be a part of it. Yeah,
that's awesome. That really is great. And I just, again, just, you know, your journey, we didn't even talk about McVay too. Let's, because I know when I saw you at the Clipper game, which is great. I'm glad I ran into you, which is what's led to this conversation here. McVay was right across the way, sitting there courtside, and you're like, yeah, I was just seeing Sean here. I mean, what is a conversation between Jed Fish and Sean McVay, if you don't mind me being a fly on the wall, sound like as you're talking football, just talking about programs and installing culture and being coaches? What about that?
You know, I think, I mean, Sean schematically is elite, but Sean culturally is even better.
I hear that all the time. He's, you know, I mean,
he's amazing.
How so? What can you describe that?
He's a constant learner. And he's a constant listener, and he's always talking to the best of the brightest, and in the profession and in leadership.
Well, he's that now. I mean, people are going to him. Like, he's the mount now that you go see.
I go to him, and then I get whatever information he's gotten from everybody else.
No kidding.
But he's so smart. He's such a great listener. He puts together such a clear and concise plan every year on what he wants his team to look like, what he wants the messaging of that year to be. But the part that I love so much about Sean is that his consistent message of connectivity, that will be one that I think he is a pillar of his program, and how connected the staff is, how connected the staff is with the players, and how connected the players are. We really pride ourselves to try to be like that. Mm-hmm. We talk about the Rams in such high regard in our facility at Washington, because Sean's culture of connection is what allows them to handle any adversity.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about how many wins he has at a certain age, and how he's, you know, got records for his age, but he's also got records for people already in his mid by being certain numbers before your mid 40s, and he's not going to be in his mid 40s till 2031. He's just way ahead. So do you guys just chop up X's and O's, stuff that you've worked on, and then he picks your brain, and he's got stuff that he's worked on, and then vice versa? That's how it works?
It is. And we zoom X's and O's, and we talk culture is kind of what I would say. We have a lot of – and then we try to share at least two or three times a year we get together, you know, hoping to bring him out for our coaching clinic and then spend a day or two around that with him and with Chris Shula also. But with Sean, like, chopping up the X's and O's is so good because we run the same offense. We do the same stuff. So we're able to always talk about what's kind of the new up and coming, let's call it, you know, what can we adjust or tweak to make it a little bit better for 2025 and beyond. And then on the same token, just to be able to say, hey, how are you handling this situation? Situational football is really the separator. And the more we can talk through that, and he calls me almost after every one of our games, texts me after our games, I text him after his, and just be able to just talk about one or two segments in the game, I'm so appreciative of him.
Jed Fish, you are the man. So what are the next few weeks, months look for a major college head coach of a program like Washington? What does it look like?
Well, we got 4 days left of recruiting. So tonight to San Francisco, then the red eye to Jersey, then down to Florida for 4 days, just for these final 4 days. And then it's about football. It's about February, getting our team together. And February and March, we're committed to seeing how connected we can be as a team. And then spring ball starts, and we'll see how good we can get. But I love our team. I love where our team's going. We're young. But I've said I've never heard an NFL coach say we're going to build our team through free agency. So we're not going to build our team through the portal. We're going to build it through high school recruiting.
So that's old school. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Like we're used to. So do you have your quarterback right now?
We do. We have a freshman quarterback that just he started the last two games. I think he's elite. I think he's going to be super special. He threw for had five touchdowns in our bowl game. And I think this kid, Damon Williams, is going to be someone to keep an eye on for years to come. And I can't wait to coach him the next 2 to 3 years and then be able to talk about him going to Indianapolis for that combine.
No kidding, man. All right. Well, I root for you, sir, with the exception of one day in the big house, as you know.
I do know that.
But that's no offense, though.
No, right? No offense taken.
Okay, you understand it. You understand. That'll be a pretty neat moment for you, too.
I can't wait.
I know you beating Michigan probably was a nice moment, obviously. but going there, I'm sure that's going to be pretty neat for you. because and it's just pretty. Like I said, I just wanted to interview you and get through. You've got so many vast experiences at both levels in so many different spots. You're kind of like a tapestry of different coaches and different styles all in one, man. So from Spurrier all the way through to the current day, it's pretty cool.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. Just an awesome experience to be a part of it and talk football with a guy that I've watched on TV year in and year out.
You're good, man. Thanks, Jed. I appreciate it. Everybody, check out Jed Fish's exploits and wins up in UW country. Thanks for being here. That's Jed Fish sending him off to different parts to get his program better right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And right here on the Infinity Sports Network, it's time for a sports update with Carlos Ortiz. Carlos? Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell, right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Love Hurts. Kiwi Kwan has had quite a career, from childhood roles in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and The Goonies to a recent Academy Award win for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But now, Ki finally stars as a leading man in the film Love Hurts. Love Hurts is the perfect date night movie with its mix of over-the-top action, comedy, and a ton of heart. Love Hurts, only at theaters February 7th.
So I tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I say, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Mm-hmm. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats.
Mm-hmm.
125,000 dollars.
Well, you're going for the primo if you're talking about that.
I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams.
See, now, this is your rookie experience mistake is you need to check the prices before offering to take people in primo seats.
Or wait until the O-line comes over and they go, we each get 15 tickets. Do you want some? I went, are you kidding me? One guy's like, well, you got to sit with my parents. I was like, I am getting along great with parents. Does your dad drink? Because I black out in front of your family like I do my family. This is the rub.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here.
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. My manager just goes, I need $125,000. And I gave it to somebody. And you're like, Bernie Madoff's client? Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's going to really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool.
Oh my God.
Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, right?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know when I get my ticket.
It's the greatest heist ever.
Yeah. Put you in the puppy bowl.
Bert, go to the puppy bowl.
I'm like Kaiser Soze, but I still limp.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, if I have bad seats, I'm going to be living. I hate the Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting against both teams.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. My wife is so angry at me.
Oh. She thought you were robbed.
I should have helped out so many poor children. I'm just throwing money away.
We have to know.
There's people mining cobalt, and I'm sitting here with...
I'm sweating and laughing.
I'm done.
And I'm not the one 150, 125 grand in the hole. Oh, my God.
Bert Kreischer's next appearance on The Rich Eisen Show is Wednesday of Super Bowl week. He's on our docket as well, once again.
Oh, man.
We'll ask him if he's dived back in. Now, he had Tom Segura with him last year, and we were doing shots, and that's when Gronk and Edelman showed up together.
Right. And Kenny Chesney. It was like a cross-section of...
By the way, that Super Bowl in Arizona
that he
got those seats for...
I still got that bottle over here, by the way.
Eagles Chiefs. And look what we got again.
Yeah. Super.
Thanks for asking.
Are you going to drink on air again this year? That's
me?
That's my question.
I mean, if they bring the vodka, I think we might have to.
You know, the thing that I'd consider drinking in, but you know, from a cup, I think to the face.
To the head was a little much.
Was rough.
Yeah.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Here, everybody. They're back here. There's two things that happen this time of year in between now and Super Sunday. Two things that happen every single time this time of year.
What's that?
One is we find out who the Pro Bowl replacements are.
Oh, true.
The Pro Bowl games replacement is now we're saying. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson just got replaced.
Not surprised.
Josh Allen's replacement is Russell Wilson.
Hmm.
Black who will soon not be under contract anywhere.
Yeah.
Black and gold. Here we go.
That's right. Yeah. Russell Wilson's going to the Pro Bowl games.
How about that?
And by the way, it's basically like calling up Russell and saying, would you and Ciara and your kids like to have a weekend in Orlando and hang out? The answer is absolutely.
Play a little dodgeball?
Hell yeah.
What are they doing
in
those games now?
And hey, Chris, Drake May and Matt Jones now have something in common. Round of applause there. They have now something in common.
What's that?
Drake made a good season.
They made the Pro Bowl in their rookie season as a replacement. Drake May is replacing Lamar Jackson. Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah. Now he can make the Pro Bowl every year of his career. It's tough to do that if you miss the first year. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, so, Chris,
congratulations.
By saying that, then you are saying he's never going to make a Super Bowl because he's going to be in the Pro Bowl every year?
Well, I mean, if you make the Super Bowl, you're still a Pro Bowler, and then you get replaced.
And the other thing that happens this week is general managers and newsmakers of teams that are not in the playoffs but at the East-West Shrine or the Senior Bowl start talking about the future. Andrew Berry, general manager of the Browns.
Oh, baby.
With rumors hot that Myles Garrett could be on the trade block, Andrew Berry said no. And he was even asked, hey, if somebody at dinner says, we'll give you two ones for him tonight, he said, okay, no, thank you.
Days like a buffalo.
He's lying. If someone offers two number ones and probably like a third.
From Myles Garrett?
Every time.
I don't know, dude.
Whew, I don't know, man.
No.
I don't know.
Why would you trade the Grim Reaper? You've got the second overall pick. How many more first overall picks? How many first round picks do you need?
Yeah. All of them.
No, you don't.
You got to keep that fan base happy, too. And he's like.
The question is do you add Travis Hunter or Cam Ward? Ooh. That's your question. Those are the choices.
They don't have a quarterback.
Uh-oh. Daniel Jeremiah in his mock draft 1.0, which we'll discuss at length tomorrow, has the Browns leaving Cam Ward for the Giants and having Myles Garrett have a new teammate in Travis Hunter on the back end. So there's all of that.
And what, Kirk Cousins in free agency?
I don't know.
If he gets released.
Boy, there's just so much to talk about down the road. That's on Wednesday's edition of the Rich Eisen Show. What the Football with Suzy Schuster and Amy Trask. Marshall Faulk and Pete Carroll are the guests scheduled. Back to wrap in a sec.
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, you know some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at like Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie? What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.